Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, Episode 1, Ho 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 in a Bottle of Rum and Coke.
You said ho.
Yeah, I did. And ho is spelled the right time. Everyday Drinkers is sponsored by the Cider Visor, making repulsive people sexually desirable since 1269 BC. Respect the laws, drink responsibly, and please, please, don't be a shithead.
It's asking a lot.
So that negates us, doesn't it?
Yes. I am your host, Derek Schomer. We've got our strong panel of drinkers today. Or a bar of drinkers, depending on how you envision us. Our panel includes Dave, located in Massachusetts, that is. Kate, also in Massachusetts. Doug, in North Carolina. And I'm sitting here in the boons of New Hampshire. And we really don't have anything to do here but drink and play video games. I think
well, there's the sheep, too, right?
There's the sheep, but that's only 18 or older. We don't do anything lower than that.
Ew.
And I challenge you to find an 18-year-old sheep.
It's tough to find.
Right. I just wanted to mention why we might be doing this. Does anybody know?
The old sheep.
No, not the sheep.
For me, I'm doing it because I'm hoping to learn more about different types of alcohol, since I generally basically drink wine, beer, and vodka. Oh, and bourbon.
Well, okay, so that's pretty much everything.
Well, that's not rum and tequila and I don't
yeah,
know.
Tequila's
lots
good
of
too.
Other things that's out true. There.
Other than that, I think everybody's just here to drink and talk, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to cover, based on the title of the episode, it'll be rum in all shapes and sizes. And it's not just for Coke anymore. We're talking like rum in all dark rums, light rums, overproof rums. You'll learn what that is because I had no clue.
We're doing Coke too? It's a different cast, isn't it?
Yeah. That's no, not the white powdery stuff. You could maybe do rum and Coke. They do complement each other in some neighborhoods. Around here, we usually stick to Coke Zero, Diet Coke, and Classic.
So next week isn't like the Smack and Vodka episode.
Right. We like to we keep our Smack for the second episode because it adds extra bang.
All right, carry on.
So we'll see what we have for rum this week. This time, I think I'm going to choose... Let me get the bottle here. Mainly because I like to do this. Watch this. It smells so good.
Excellent sound effects.
Yeah, that's why I picked this one, because it's actually got a real hardwood cork. Or whatever corks are made out of.
Hardwood.
I'm going to keep that for later.
Ho, ho, ho.
Exactly. So I've got, what is this? Captain Morgan Private Stock. It's 40 proof alcohol. It's awesome. It's dark.
40 proof or 40%?
Let me check again, because 40 proof will kill you. 40%.
Yeah, there you go.
Because 40 proof would be not very much, actually. 25%? No. That would be like a liqueur.
Not even worth drinking.
What are you drinking there, Kate, speaking of drinking?
I am drinking Gosling's Black Seal Rum, which is a dark rum.
That sounds like it has a nice bottle.
Gosling's. It really actually does. Well, the bottle... Yeah, I mean, it's a clear bottle, but the actual rum itself is a really nice dark color, and there's a cute seal on the front. So, yeah,
so you don't
nice
have any 3D objects behind it like some of the vodkas?
No, actually, no. Yeah, it's not real intricate or impressive.
I love the 3D bottles, but I buy my alcohol based on how cool the bottle is, which is why I went with Private Stock, to be honest.
That is a cool bottle. Pictured on the website.
I know. Doug, what do you got?
I have the Appleton Estate Jamaica Rum. In my opinion, the only rum that you should drink.
Because it's from Jamaica, man?
It's Jamaican rum.
What's the difference between a Jamaican rum and a Puerto Rican rum?
About 200 miles.
About 3 ounces of weed, I think.
And
oh. So the
different country.
The technical differences are just astounding me. I'll make sure to check the Jamaican rum, because it'll probably ship here quicker, right?
It might.
All right. Well, wait, no, I guess it's not Cuban, so it's not like they're going to bring it over on a raft, but they could. Dave, what do you got?
I've got Ray and Nephew Overproof Rum, which really ought to be in a plastic jug because you're going to wind up in a gutter somewhere with this stuff.
So it's the stuff that you use with lighter fluid, like for lighter fluid, or, you
it
know?
It tastes like... Ever siphon a gas tank and swallow some?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, like I'm the only
everybody
white trash kid.
Better answer
okay,
no to that.
I'm going to plead no, because I can't think of a reason to do that. Maybe if I was stealing some gas, but no. I've never had to steal gas. When do you steal gas? I mean, well, okay. Then I have a question for you. Is it 89 octane, or is it 91?
I think this is the old school leaded gasoline that just really turns you blind, but we'll get to that later, I guess.
That's really surprising because you're usually so top shelf.
Yeah, like, this was a gift.
Oh, okay. Oh, that explains it. You're trying to get rid of it.
Pretty much.
In
it
one
was
night.
Sitting there, and I was like, you know what? I ought to do something with this.
Okay. Well, do you know what the alcohol percentage is on that one?
Yeah, it's 63%. So it's 126 proof.
So
it's not quite like Bacardi 151, but it'll definitely like peel paint.
So that's a couple of the Mai Tais like that, and you're going to go down. I don't care if you are 7 feet tall.
Well, and today I'm totally dehydrated, so I'm yeah.
Awesome.
It's bad.
So does anybody know anything about rum?
Distilled with sugarcane.
Bingo! You got it. I just wanted
and
to mention
aged in
what
in casks. Wooden cask.
Oh, that's yeah, but that's a gimme. Everything's aged in a wooden cask.
Well, not everything.
Right, not Sam Adams, but
moonshine.
True. I never thought of moonshine as a drink that we would cover in a podcast, though.
Oh,
well, maybe
I have connections.
All right, you can ship some of that around to us, and we'll bail you out,
no,
and then we'll have a
no
podcast.
Shipping. If you're listening to this, there will be no shipping interstate moonshine.
No? Okay.
No.
My goal here would be to take what you know about rum and make it so that you can go to a party and get laid knowing this stuff. That using it intelligently. You, on the other hand, you might not want to do that since you're married. That's going to be a road bump. But for everyone that might be listening, even though this is episode one and that will be us, I'm thinking that people need to know something about rum. The rum is obviously distilled in it's a distilled beverage in sugarcane, which, by the way, sugarcane everybody knows is awesome because it's got the root word sugar, and sugar is mm-hmm. good for most people. The byproducts, the sugarcane and byproducts such as molasses, sugarcane juice. I don't even know what that tastes like, but it must be awesome. And it's fermented and distilled.
It's very good. You've never had sugarcane?
No, you're the only one I know that lived in Louisiana, dude.
Oh,
yeah. You ever have a mojito where they cut a piece of sugarcane and drop it in the glass?
No, I've heard that. I've heard of it though.
It's pretty good. You just sit there and gnaw on it.
And then do you just get sugar rush?
It's not that strong.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that sucks.
Well, sugarcane, they have to kind of like grind up and press out, I guess.
They got to beat the hell out of it. And then 50 stalks later, you have like a tea bag.
There was actually a sugarcane refinery in the town that I lived in.
That must smell awesome.
Actually,
I know it doesn't.
That byproduct, the discarded
juice
stock.
Oh yeah,
man, they would burn that. It smelled so bad, and you know what they called it?
Poop.
Bag ass. Yeah, it actually, and it smelled like the first time I smelled it, I was like, oh my god, it smells like a cat shit. did I get something on my shoe? You know,
but no, it's
around.
Just in
it's
the environment. Awesome.
That was awful.
Remind me to move there. No. So you're right. The rum is distilled in oak and other casks. So you've got an A+ so far.
Thanks.
No problem. The majority of rum comes from the Caribbean, along with where the hell is that? Demara River, Guyana, in South America. There are also rum products in places like Australia, India. I've never had Indian rum, to be honest, but I would try it. Now we have where we come down to the different types of varieties and styles of rum. We have light rum, which is used in mixed drinks. We have gold, dark, which are used for cooking and cocktails. I can see how those completely relate. Premium brands of rum are also available so that you can kind of put them in a neat glass, which I believe if you read the definition of neat, it means no contaminants. Unadulterated, undiluted awesomeness. Basically, drink it straight. Or you can have it on the rocks, which is poured over ice. If you don't know what on the rocks is and you just learned something, this isn't the podcast for you.
Or maybe it is.
Well, I may. Yeah. You know what? Learn something.
Exactly. We're here to teach.
Right. Exactly. Doug and me and Kate, we all have dark rums. And yeah. Dave's the only one who can handle the overproof.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Yeah, the jury's out.
So here, if you want to, this is what you want to memorize because you'll be popular at parties and all the chicks will dig you. You want to know that a light rum is like, don't think of it as a Bud Light. You know, don't go, oh, light rum, I can drink 10 of those, because you'll still knock you on your ass, and they're still going to add calories. But it's terms of color and not calories. So you have a silver and a white rum, I think, are the only two. Like a Bacardi is, I believe, Bacardi Silver is just a freaking light rum. Gold rum, which is a medium body rum with a little age to it, probably almost what you might have, Kate, or is yours really dark?
Mine is super dark.
Oh, really? Cool. Mm-hmm. So none of us have the gold rum, which is, I guess. Me. You do?
I do.
Oh, is yours a gold rum? I thought it was a dark rum. You said
is
it was
Doug with the Appleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's considered an amber, like a gold hue. Mm-hmm. That one is aged in wooden barrels. Ding! You got some points.
Jesus, I'm all over it.
I know. And that would be
I'm Jeopardy.
Your basic standard alcoholic beverage. It's. Well, do you know what's the alcohol proof or percentage on that?
40.
Oh, so it's the same as what mine is, which is dark. Mm-hmm. You have your spice rums. Those are.
Well, the alcohol doesn't change based on aging.
No, but there it seemed like there was different. The different levels tended to have different amounts of alcohol in them. I don't think it has anything to do with the age. I think it's just maybe the way it's made.
Sure.
Besides overproof, obviously, it's like anything you call over and then you put the word proof in front of it is obvious.
It's just badness on a label. I know.
It's more like a warning.
You're gonna
really
wake up hurting.
So then you also have the spice rum, which is just kind of a caramel spice, or you can kind of get it's a golden to darker hue. It's, you know, for cheap rums, it'll be something that's probably made with a light rum and artificial caramel color. So you're looking at like a Diet Coke for all intents and purposes with a spice to it. I think like Captain Morgan, standard stock Captain Morgan spice rum, which I like and I think is great straight. I don't recommend spiced rum in a mixed drink because it's spiced. It's sort of like why you wouldn't put pumpkin inside of a beer. I guess
you know, a lot of people do Captain and Coke though, right?
You do Captain and Coke, but is that really a mixed Captain? You add Coke to anything, it's really not a mixed drink. It's a Coke with alcohol in it. I mean, you can't really make it taste bad, can you?
It's a mixed drink.
A lot of people when I go to the bar, there's two ways you get rum and Coke. You get rum with a little Coke on the top to make it look colored, and then you get like Coke with a little bit of rum on it, which is, you know, the cheap way to doing it. I don't know what the perfect mix is.
I actually had some recently with Malibu, and that was pretty good. It was sort of like coconut Coke.
I had Malibu a few weeks ago. Actually, they were giving out samples at the bar. But I don't like coconut flavoring, so it didn't
do
much for
me. I don't usually go with Malibu. I go with the Parrot Bay, which is the same. I mean, it's coconut rum, but it's Parrot Bay, which is a Captain Morgan brand. I'm all about Captain Morgan.
But yeah, I would guess that if you don't like coconut, it's probably not going to do much.
No. If you don't like
kind of the base criteria.
But it was a free shot, so I took it.
Right. You always take free shots. Rule number one.
Yep. Yes.
But
it's nothing like drinking suntan lotion.
Exactly, Doug.
That's not. It's only if you have coconut suntan lotion.
And really, I've only drunk it in a pinch, you know?
And.
Right,
the lotion, I mean.
Right, when you don't want your tongue to tan. What do you do that for? Well, I don't like coconut. I don't like the texture of coconut, but I don't mind coconut rum. Okay. So there's a
That makes sense.
And just to go back to the thing you said about pumpkin and beer,
it's good.
Really quite a good combination.
I know. I screwed up. I
just wanted to clarify that because it's very yummy.
Oktoberfest is good, but I don't like distilled pumpkin into beer. It tastes like rotting pumpkin, but maybe it's just the microbrew that I had.
I think it's kind of funny that all the Oktoberfest brands at least around here have pumpkin and stuff in them because, I don't know,
it's
I went
October.
To Oktoberfest last year and there was no pumpkin beer to be had.
Right. See, here's the problem. Oktoberfest is in September and people don't understand that. So they're like, oh, pumpkin. You don't put pumpkin in there. That doesn't make any sense. It's just, I can understand if you put it on the label because it's like Oktoberfest, but you don't actually have to put pumpkin in the beer. For October beer, at least. Maybe pumpkin beer. Anyway, dark rum, it's aged longer, heavily charred barrels, it makes it dark. It's got a stronger flavor, more obviously than the light rum and gold rum, and it's used in cooking and mixing drinks, I guess. I don't use dark rum in mixing drinks unless it's Coke. Flavored rum, what?
What makes it darker? The fact that it's
charred
aged
barrels,
longer or that the barrels are charred?
I think it's more that the barrels are charred.
Oh.
Besides, I mean, well, if you have something in a charred barrel and you leave it there longer, it's going to get darker than something you don't. But I think
there's this kind of oxidation thing that happens with wood as well. So the longer you leave something in a barrel, the longer it pulls stuff out of the wood, you know?
Yeah, until you get, I guess if you leave it in too long, it just tastes like you're drinking wood.
And some things do, yes.
And I'm not a big fan of drinking wood. If I wanted to drink wood, I'd just put it in a blender.
God, there's so many ways we could go with that.
I know. I was just thinking that. I was like,
see?
I heard Doug kind of giggling.
There was the weakness in nobody jumped.
A lot of wood jokes here.
Yeah, I like
drinking wood.
Oh,
God.
Hey, I gave you the shot. You didn't take it. And for the flavored rums, we have your mango, your orange, your citrus, your coconut, which we already talked about. And there's a lime rum. Limki from Sweden. I guess that's
The Swedes do crazy shit, though. I mean, they have this stuff called Turkish Delight. They take licorice candies and they drop it in aquavit for some indeterminate period of time, and it turns into, like, liquid licorice candy. But it'll just knock you flat. Magic stuff.
Well, then that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
I would like
it's cold. Like licorice, like Sambuca?
No, like, if you've ever had a licorice candy, you know, not like a licorice stick, but like a really, really sweet licorice. Uh-huh. It's much more like that than just a Sambuca or an Ouzu or something would be.
All right.
And it tastes good?
It's great, yeah. Oh. Unless you don't like licorice, in which case, you know, it's kind of like the coconut discussion we just had.
Unless you don't like the texture of licorice. and then we'll move on to the level that Dave decided to go with as a gift, was the overproof rum. It will knock you on your ass, mostly because it's usually 75% alcohol or more. Bacardi 151 is a good example. And I hear they even have 160 proof. I've never seen 160 proof. But why stop at 151 when you've already passed 150, right?
Yeah, there's just no need for that.
Oh, yes, there is. Jell-O.
It's like the 11 on an amp.
But the bottle might as well just say, I have a problem on it. You know, it's too much.
Well, no, you don't have a problem until you drink it. Before that, you're fine. If I buy a bottle of Bacardi 151 or 160 or 170, I don't even know how high it can go until I guess it's grain alcohol. There's no problem if you're serving it to others. It's when you drink it in mass quantities.
Yeah, I suppose it's all about efficiency, how quickly you want to get messed up.
Right, and it's probably based highly on age and cool factor. If you go to a party and you're like, oh, dude, I got 151, people are like, yeah, dude, rock on. They don't really want to drink it, but they want to feel like they're the alpha male. And
they want to light it on fire.
Right. Oh, wait, hold on, pause. I got to tell you a story. This involves Duck. Hey, Duck, God, do you remember when you lost all the hair on your fingers?
Wait a minute, you have hair on your fingers?
Well, everybody
does. How much hair are we talking?
Not like, he's not a freaking monkey, but like, you know how you have the little hairs that grow like between the knuckles? At least guys do, chicks probably don't, because that's weird. Well, there was hair. I know there was hair on fire. Anyway, so, do you remember when you decided you were going to take, with John Crowley, and you decided you were going to light your shots on fire and then go cheers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb, huh? Yeah, here's a tip for anybody who wants to light a shot on fire. A, blow it out before you drink it, obviously. B, don't go cheers and tink it against somebody else with a flaming shot.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, you're already over the hump.
Right,
you're like, hey, let's light a shot on fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so
the lack of judgment problem.
You can't start, you know, saying shouldn't do this, you probably shouldn't do that.
Right.
You're beyond that.
It's not like you guys went out drinking and driving. You just lit yourself on fire for a short period of time because you were right next to the faucet.
The thing is, too, the flame that burns off of alcohol is so hot. I was in a bar in Bristol one time, and I was leaning up against the bar, and somebody had ordered Sambuca shots on fire, and the bartender was sloppy, and he splashed a bunch of it on my hand. So I look over, and my hand is engulfed in blue flame.
Yeah, it's hurt. It's hurt.
It turns out that when you plunge a flaming hand into a pint of beer, it's maybe not the best way to heal it.
No, but you got a oaken-barreled flavored beer.
That's right.
Well, the alcohol should help, no?
I don't know. It hurt like hell, and I lost a lot of skin.
The barley and the hops. Dude, that's a lawsuit if I have to talk about it. I mean, that makes... If I go into a bar and somebody lights my hand on fire, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I got a free beer out of it, I think.
Oh!
I was happy with that and the condition I was, so it's all good.
So that's like what Doug's saying. Once you lose your judgment, it's all over. You did. I mean, your hair grew back, right?
Who are you talking to?
You. Man? Well, I didn't see it. His whole skin grew back. I've seen his hand. It's not like on the bone or anything. But
yeah,
I mean, it was. You just put it out real quick. But it does. It makes that blue flame. Because realistically, if you were to dunk your and I've done this. Don't not another stupid thing to do. If you were to dunk your hand in rubbing alcohol and light it on fire, you can blow it out.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this. Well, this is an explicit podcast, so they shouldn't be listening anyway. If you light your hand on fire, and you can blow it out if you use rubbing alcohol. I don't understand why. I'm not a chemist, but it works.
You know some idiot's going to try this.
Oh, it doesn't hurt for a few seconds, as long as you blow it out in time. If you don't, there's like a, I don't know, once the humidity or the moisture on your hand burns off, that's where it starts to get a little warm. But
right, everybody remembers stop, drop, and roll, right?
Well, no, you just put your hand out. But if you do that with alcohol, it's a really hot flame. It, you know what? I think it burns too fast. Where with the rubbing alcohol, there's enough on there to burn. You're burning the alcohol, not your skin. But when I think with the liquor, it's the alcohol just flares off, and all you've got left to burn now is what's left over, which is typically the human skin. That's my theory.
I think we're about three tangents deep, aren't we?
Bingo. So the last level.
He did say pause. So
he did. Now, yeah. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. So that was my story. Don't clink glasses when they're on fire, and don't let a bartender do it either. So that goes down the route of overproof. The last one is your premium rum. This is the stuff you drink to impress chicks. You know, it kind of gives you that extra cool feeling when you're kind of sipping it. It's like, ooh, you got to wear a tuxedo maybe. I don't know how it really works. But it's a boutique brand, and it's well-aged, and it's a carefully produced rum. It's kind of clean, and it's smooth, and it costs a lot of money, probably too much money, and you probably don't want to mix it. And I don't think any of us are covering premium rum because – well, honestly, I don't know many people who drink rum to drink premium. That's what they do with tequila.
I think that's an oxymoron. Premium, it's rum. It's sugar. It's distilled sugarcane.
It's the easiest thing to make. The only thing you can make easier is if you dump a gallon of potatoes in your tub and you just let it sit there for 16 months and make vodka.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, I'm not – don't call me Russian, but I think that's kind of like the recipe for success for vodka.
With, yeah, something like that.
Rum's the same way. Nobody buys – okay, I know people who buy premium vodka, but it tastes like oily alcohol. I don't need that to be a high top shelf. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an odd description. Oily?
Richer vodka or flavorful vodka. Vodka doesn't have much of a taste.
Yeah, unless you get it that raspberry stuff.
Yeah.
That's why you should only use gin when you're making martinis.
Oh, really?
Really?
I hate martinis. But go on.
that's a different episode.
I don't know if I can stand that episode, but we could try. I'm not a big fan of gin. It tastes like I'm eating a tree.
Okay. So, you kind of are.
See? Yeah. Oh, I don't know much about gin. Maybe we'll have to cover that. I do have some good stuff. So what the two recipes that we decided to go with, and mainly because somebody didn't have the recipe for Mai Tai, I won't mention any names, was a Mai Tai, which you can get with, 2 ounces of light rum? I would go with light rum. You could try darker, and we'll ask Kate how that goes. 1 ounce of triple sec, 1 teaspoon of Orgate almond syrup, basically sugar cane. Kind of odd you're putting rum in sugar cane. 1/2 ounce of grenadine and 1 ounce of lime juice. It's a good drink, I think. And it's anything – it'll taste just like what you get at the Chinese food restaurant, as Dave would say.
Very sweet. Very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the same as getting it at the Chinese food restaurant. I mean, you want to go to like a dirty tiki bar somewhere where you're drinking out of a Buddha head. It's all about atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on that. So, yeah, it's not a Mai Tai unless you're drinking it out of
a Buddha.
Preferably, if you can find a place that has karaoke and has bar flies, then you're fine.
See, you want to know what? My first experience in a Mai Tai was on a Mai Tai cruise in Hawaii. So maybe that's why I have a different impression of what it should taste like.
Huh.
I've never had a Mai Tai before that because
drinking underage in a Chinese food restaurant.
Oh,
very strong Mai Tai.
Was it a tiki or a Buddha head?
A Buddha head.
I don't remember that.
Be honest. Come on.
Put a little umbrella, though.
Tell us.
They did have umbrellas in the Chinese.
Nice.
Okay, so you can buy umbrellas if you want to add that into your recipe. It's not very hard. You can even put it.
Yeah, but there's no bar flies in my house. It's just not the same.
You can get a slice of orange, throw it, stick a little one of those umbrellas, drop it in there. I don't know. I can't help you with the tiki atmosphere. Unless you build a room or maybe do like a monster house like on Discovery Channel, Tiki Bar, I don't really think we can bring you that atmosphere unless we all go do a live broadcast in a dirty Chinese food restaurant in the back alley of Boston or something.
No, I know a perfect one, but we'll have to do that sometime.
Okay.
Just remember, get your tetanus shot up to date and it's all good. And don't eat the food. Oh my God, don't eat the food.
Well, you don't go there to eat the food. You go there to drink the Mai Tais.
That's right.
You go there on a completely empty stomach so that it's cheaper. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. That's how I do it. We also have the Golden Eye, which we found out has another name. That's, 2 ounces of dark rum? In this case, we're going to go with Appleton's is preferred. Juice of one fourth lime. That's just, don't add all those together. Just do the 1/4. Crushed ice, if available, and this is something I wanted to find. I couldn't find it, Doug. Hut ginger ale, Jamaican-style ginger ale. Where do you get this stuff?
I'd try that.
The drink shop.
Yeah, the drink shop.
See, I went to the grocery store, and I went to the section that they have ginger ale. They had raspberry ginger ale. They had ginger ale with no calories. They had ginger ale this, ginger ale that. Generic ginger ale, no Jamaican-style hot ginger ale.
You probably want to look in the same section that has, like, I don't know if your store is an international aisle or something like that, but that's usually where you find
really?
Stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. It does. I didn't check the internet. The one that has, like, the German food and the Chinese food and the whatever.
And, like, Jarritos soda from Mexico and
I don't think
all
we have
this
that.
Kind of stuff.
We don't have
You'll see, like West Indies brand, they make a Jamaican-style ginger ale and some other stuff.
So you knew about this, too. You bastard. So I checked the aisle that had all the drink mixes, thinking maybe they'd stash it in there, because, I don't know, maybe they would. They didn't have it anywhere. I wanted to try this thing, because I had some dark rum sitting right here. Hold on. There we go. Yeah, I had to do it. So I thought it would be cool to make this Goldeneye, because it kind of... Is there a story behind that, Doug? Because I thought there was a story.
Oh, yeah, I was four...
You were four? Holy shit!
For our honeymoon, we went to Jamaica, and the place that we stayed at was the resort. It was called Goldeneye, and it was Ian Fleming's estate on Jamaica, and they named it Goldeneye, and their drink that they have for the resort, they called it the Goldeneye, and it was this, but.
Uh-oh.
I had heard that it was called something different, and Kate can elaborate on that.
What did you call it, Kate?
It's called a dark and stormy.
Like, how do you spell like dark and stormy or darkened stormy?
Dark and stormy.
Oh.
And it is actually the Bermuda's national drink, and it is very similar to the Goldeneye minus the lime juice, although, you know, you could stick in a lime. Basically, it's 2 ounces of dark rum with a ginger beer, not specified what brand, and you can garnish it with a wedge of lime. And
no
it's
ice.
Really good.
Is there ice in there?
No ice. No. Nope.
Whoa, you drink it warm?
Well, I guess the beer's cold.
I guess if it's not a German beer, it could be cold. But
yeah. I mean, I've only had it once. I had it at a party a couple of years ago, and it was really good. It just kind of sweetens up the beer, and it's really good.
Beer?
But it was definitely cold.
Where did you get the beer? Like, is that a specialty store beer?
I have no idea. I was at a barbecue at my boss's house, actually.
Maybe
and
they
her
smuggled
husband,
it.
It's his favorite drink, so he insisted that I try it. And It was really good, and I hadn't even given it another thought until I was buying this beer, and on the shelf it said there was a tag, you know, written out by the liquor store saying this is, you know, the ingredient in the infamous dark and stormy drink. So you're
going just for the beer. Then you just throw So wait a minute.
I actually didn't make that this time around. I followed the Mai Tai recipe, and I also drank the rum on its own. So I didn't actually make a dark and stormy out of it yet, but I probably will eventually.
So that's strong, right? I mean, the beer is probably, what, 3%, 4%? And then on top of that, you have whatever, 40 or 30%.
Like a shot of rum. A shot of rum and a beer. It's not that bad.
Oh. Well, yeah, but you're drinking a beer. A ginger beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doug, this should be what you go with because you like beer. And you apparently like ginger. So if you put them both together and then add some rum in there, you should be floored in a couple hours.
Wait, is ginger beer actually alcoholic, though?
It's funny because you can actually get ginger beer. It was like root beer? A handful of weeks ago. I know a guy that brews, and he actually attempted a ginger beer, and he used like a pound of it in like an ale recipe.
Uh-oh.
And it tastes, you know, it tasted like ginger. It was literally ginger beer. So, you know, the alcohol content, it was relatively low. It was like 3.5%, but it was straight up ginger beer.
I thought it was like root beer or something. Yeah. It was just the name.
Actually, normally what I use in the Golden Eyes is non-alcoholic ginger ale, ginger beer.
Right. Non-alcoholic,
but,
though.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get a hold of actual, you know, technical ginger beer, I would imagine that would
be awesome. Then you'd end up with like
I don't
dark
know.
And stormy.
I kind of want to try it now.
You want us to wait while you go find some?
that's okay. I'll report back.
You report back and tell us how badly you get destroyed. All right.
No, I'll just say it was gooder.
Good or badder?
But I couldn't imagine. I mean, it was beer. I could not imagine rum in beer. I don't know. Interesting.
Light rum.
I will try it.
Yeah, as long as you. Oh well, you could use dark rum, I guess, right? Yeah. Dark rum,
light rum. Yeah, you should use dark rum.
Oh really? Okay.
That's why it's dark and stormy.
Oh, otherwise you just have stormy, and stormy would be dumb.
Otherwise, you're overcast.
Yes, you're cloudy and stormy.
Okay. I used my Bacardi rum. I didn't use the dark rum because I was afraid. I'll say it.
Real quick with the rum that you use, when you're making, let's say, fruity drinks like what you're making, you really should use the light rum, the clear rum, just because, A, it doesn't have as much flavor going for it. Yeah. So it's more than likely not going to overpower your drink. And the second reason that you would want to use it is because it's not going to affect the flavor. Not flavor, shit. Not going to affect the color of your drink. So especially with like a Mai Tai or something like with coconut, you don't want it to, you know, look off-white.
So basically, you know, if you're a bartender or if you're serving drinks for friends, if they've had a Mai Tai, what you're going to get is it's going to be a light pink color, right? Because of the grenadine mixed with the clears and the ice, it's going to end up looking kind of like a pink fufu drink, where I think what you probably have is a darker version of the same thing, right?
What I have, I use the dark rum, and mine is a very rich red.
Yes. Mm. Mm-hmm. So somebody who might know something about Mai Tais might just ask, but if you're at a bar, definitely not, because everybody's going to have – it's a presentation thing in that case.
Or if you have guests over and you're serving Mai Tais, you don't want them to think they look funky. You just want to serve
them
with
the other lighter thing
rum.
Is the light rum's probably cheaper. So if you have guests, you want to give them the cheap stuff because they're going to be sugared down anyway.
All the other things in it mask the flavor so much that even if the rum that you're using has an inherent flavor to it, you're not going to get it.
That's true.
I can attest to that because I drank mine in a neat drink. Yep. I drank it in its own. And I also drank it in a Mai Tai. And I can't taste the flavor. All I can taste is sweetness.
Right.
So essentially you're just wasting money by using a good rum in a drink that's sugary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. For our specific purposes, it gets you to the same place that we're all at or will be if we keep drinking, which is fucked up. I mean, that's always good.
Yes.
So I use the light rum. I could have used the dark rum, but let me tell you about my dark rum here. Since I poured myself a shot, I almost spilled it on my pants when Doug was telling me a story. Let me see. Unfortunately, I have a frosted shot glass from St. Thomas, but it is still gold. It's dark. I think it's supposed to be dark, but it's kind of gold looking. I lost my bottle. Holy shit. Oh, there it goes. Yeah. Rum with it's got spice and other natural flavors. I don't exactly understand what that means. Here's the deal. If you have friends over, we'll go back to the friend story. The Captain Morgan private stock is going to impress them. I know this because everybody that has asked, "Hey, what can I have?" and I say rum and coke, and by the way, I do mix this in rum and coke cuz it's awesome, but everybody goes, "Why do you do that?" Because my guests like it. They drink it and they're like, "That was really good." And then you give them a shot and they're like, "Wow, what is that? That's not just Captain Morgan's." You're like, "No, it's not. It's more expensive than that."
And Derek's house is actually a four-diamond resort.
Right.
On the beach.
At least that's how I present it.
It's a jacuzzi.
It does have a jacuzzi. That's true. And don't drink too much liquor and go in the jacuzzi because you'll die. Not that I've done that, but because obviously I'd be dead. Okay, so here's a little about the rum. First off, it impresses guests, as I said. Secondly, it's better than the standard edition of Captain Morgan. They both have spiciness in it, but this is a little – it tastes more caramel. Thirdly, awesome bottle, real cork, neat design. Great reason to buy this stuff. If you have friends over, first thing you want to do is drop this in front of them because it doesn't even matter what it is. They're going to be like, "Ooh, that must be expensive because it's in a cool bottle." And that's what you want, really. If you have a poker game, you drop that on the table, and they've already had a couple beers. They're like, "Whoa, let's break into that." I've actually had people rebuy me these things because they drank them all. I'm serious.
I will say that the bottle that's pictured on the website, it looks really It looks a lot better than any of the bottles I saw on the shelves when I was in the liquor store today.
And they have bigger ones, too. This is a 750 milliliter, which is your standard. It looks small, but it packs a punch. I had a bigger one, but all my friends went through it. Whenever I have poker games, this is what I bring out, and everybody drinks it, and then it just disappears, and then somebody at the game eventually buys me a new bottle. So I've really only bought one, and which is pretty good considering it's fairly expensive. Oh, excuse me. So he's got the awesome bottle to impress his friends. Goes well with Coke or on its own. I'm drinking it on its own. And it's smooth. It kind of tastes like a melted caramel stick.
Nice.
But it does burn going down. To the point where it kind of makes you almost want, well, it makes me almost want to gag if I sip it. Because it's so potent. Like, it does burn. Maybe I'm just a pussy because it's only 40 proof. What Dave's drinking would have killed me. So, is it really worth the money? It's $30 or more, I can't remember, for a 750 milliliter, where I think the standard Captain Morgan is like $16. So it's double the price for the same physical amount of volume. But you probably only have to drink – it's a little more potent. But realistically, for me, I don't really consider $30 that much when it's going to cost me that much for a big bottle of Bailey's anyway and a lot of the other crap I buy. So $30 is $30. If it was like $60 or more, then I might be a little more worried about it. It's not too bad.
Well, yeah, for rum.
That's the other thing. It is rum we're talking about. So this is
freaking
stuff,
rum.
Right. But the bottle makes it look like it was stolen off a pirate ship. And I like pirates.
That's
I think it's cool.
Arr, arr.
So I think that's a cool
thing. Like this was a no pirate podcast
sorry.
This time.
I could beep out the pirates. Oh, I got to beep that now. Great.
Wait, I didn't know that there was a no pirate rule.
I didn't either, but...
Yeah, I
just
made
it up.
Because he's basically saying, shut the fuck up. So the rating system we're going to use here is going to
tell
be...
Tell it to my parrot. I'm done.
All right.
That's it.
So the ratings... No more pirates. The rating system we're going to use is going to be rating 1 through 5. In this case, we're going to call it 1 to 5 shots. If it was beer, then I think we call it 1 to 5 mugs. So based on price, I'm going to say 3 shots, basically because it's expensive for a rum. It's rum. It's the stuff that you should be smuggling in. No, you don't even smuggle rum, do you? It's the stuff you can get anywhere.
Yeah.
So you don't want to spend too much in rum unless you want to impress your friends. The taste, I'm going to go 5 shots. Best rum I've ever had, guaranteed. Because I haven't had that many different types of rum. I have some Parrot Bay, which I use for mojitos. Hey, Dave, do you like mango mojitos?
Not so much.
What the hell's wrong with you? I thought those were the best ones.
Well, it's like mango margaritas. I'm not really into that either. I sort of like the original flavored stuff. I like mint.
Yeah, well, that's what this is. We put mango and then we put a mint leaf in it.
Well, that's just wrong.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever had a mojito. We should post that recipe up as well.
We could do mojito. Let me see. I'll write that in my show notes here. I'll post it once I get the website going.
Right. I'm just assuming by the time this actually gets broadcast.
Oh, yeah. It'll be up there. Mojito recipe. Notes taken.
With mojitos is that they're real hit or miss as far as how good they turn out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll go to some place and get one and it'll be okay, and other places will be fantastic. Other places will suck. But
you if you're at my place, it's going to fucking rock. I've made
you have
lots
private
of
private stock.
No, hey,
Dave,
I don't even use that. I use my Parrot Bay mango mojito.
Oh. Sorry.
About getting mojitos out is some of the people mash the mint so bad that it starts breaking up, and so you end up with a glass of mint flakes.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a teeth full of mint to really impress people.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
The other problem is that people will take some raggedy-ass mint that they have laying around and drop it in, and it's just really bitter and nasty and foul.
Oh, see, the mint we had was grown down at my aunt's house, so it's fresh mint. That's what makes the difference.
Yep. Well, we already talked about the paradise that is your home. So.
Right. Yes. I won't brag anymore about my paradise then.
Can I come over and jump in your hot tub?
We got a hot tub and fresh mint.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. All right. We'll bring 6 people
rum
in there and we'll cut down the water level a little so we don't spill. The presentation, I'm going to give it 4 shots. It's dark, so it kind of looks kind of gold. Let me check the aroma for a second here. Smells like liquor. It just smells like liquor. It really doesn't have
a distinctive. Nothing jumps out at you.
No, we'll probably find something that Dave can talk about with his liquor that smells. But no, it doesn't really have It just smells like alcohol, which I guess I'm going to say four shots just because it looks good. And the bottle's sweet. And that's part of the presentation, bottle. Right? So, you know, and for the buzz factor, I'm going to go 3 shots, 80 proof instead of 70 proof, normal Captain Morgan. So it's a little better. It's only 40% alcohol. A few, you know, it'll probably get you relaxed. But if you really want to get roasted, you want to go with what Dave's got going on, I think.
Sounds good.
What do you got, Doug? I want to hear about this Appleton's. It sounds like something that a rich person would buy.
Sounds
good. No, not at all. The Appleton Estate, actually.
It's got estate in the name. Estate. It sounds like something in a will.
Actually, and if you look at the little picture that you have,
yes,
the above the large portion of the label,
right?
See the small circular one?
The emblem?
Yeah, it has Estate Distilled Hand Blended V/X.
What the hell is V/X?
Very special.
Oh, I was thinking extra virgin.
Doesn't Rhea Needy have that too, though?
It probably does. Actually, any alcohol that has the distinction of the V/X is their higher end or their, you know, their reserve.
Guaranteed not to make you blind, that kind of thing.
Their private stock.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is, so anytime you see a VX on it, they're saying that this is some of the best that we produce.
Hey, when the hell did you fill in the show notes? It was empty when we started.
Oh yeah, well, God, you know. Okay. You've been hearing typing in the background.
No, you've been stealthy.
So I selected the Appleton Estate because it is actually excellent Jamaican rum. And in my opinion, it's the only rum that should be used when making my particular drink, the Golden Eye. Is it worth the money? Heck yeah. It's at $20. $20.
That's cheaper than mine. Mine's private stock, but my bottle's better.
I know. It really is a really good deal for some good rum.
So can you buy that anywhere?
Yeah.
So I could go down to my liquor store and just say, some Appleton's Estate, please, and they'll just pull it right up.
Yeah. And they'll probably have Appleton Special.
What's that?
Which is the lower end, but it's still
a
good Jamaican rum, and it's very inexpensive.
So why is Special the low stuff, and what you have isn't Special, but is higher?
It's Estate.
Oh, yeah, it's the will thing. Yeah. Okay, I can understand that.
Sort of like the rock, paper, scissors of alcohol, I guess.
Oh. Awesome, okay. I'm not exactly sure. I'm working the analogy in my head. I'm trying to find the right angle.
It's like Estate beats Special or something.
But what does private stock do? Private stock beats all? Because I must be wrong.
I haven't worked out all the details yet, right?
Okay.
It depends on what the private stock is going against.
Estate. Because
it's $30. It beats it.
Yeah, it beats it in price. You know what? You know what I'm going to do, Doug? Just for you. I'm going to go down when I have $20. I'm going to go down. I'm going to buy some of this stuff before I finish.
I usually went down when somebody else had $20.
Damn it. I left myself open again.
Hey, did you want to tell us about drinking wood?
No. Don't remember that.
Now's the time that you should probably talk about that.
I'm not going to open my closet of issues on you, Doug.
Oh, closet opening. Nice.
See how I worded that? Nicely crafted. Yeah. I don't even know what I was going to... I have a bottle of alcohol in my hand. I was going to say something. I don't even remember what it is now.
Derailment complete.
Oh, God. Hey, Doug, do you have... Before we talk about some sort of other way of turning my life into homosexuality, do you have any type of ratings for me?
No, you're doing a great job of it. On your own.
Oh, God. I was talking towards your liquor.
See, I'm wondering if when people listen to this, if they'll know at what point we've had a few.
That would be before people, we start.
Yeah.
It would be like, wow, man, these guys sound drunk. I wonder why. So, rating, 1 to 5 shots. For the price, 4 shots.
That's true.
I give it 4 shots for the price because, it really is good rum, and B, $20.
That's that's the minimum you can pull out of a bank on an ATM, right?
Yes.
So if you go to an ATM within moments, you can have yourself some Appleton Estate.
Yes.
That's like a commercial right there.
Make it.
You could always put in terms of like how many empties do you have to collect to pay for it.
Oh yeah, empties. Oh, ooh, yeah. That's a lot of empties.
Go down to your local ATM, man. Get the minimum withdrawal. Get some Appletons.
Man.
Taste, 4 shots, man.
4 shots? Why?
4 shots. It's, again, good Jamaican rum, and it tastes great in drinks where you actually want to be able to taste the rum.
Have you had non-Jamaican rum? You've had Puerto Rican rum, right?
Like Captain Morgan's and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, any of those are Puerto Rican rum. So it's better than a Puerto Rican? Like, no, I don't know. I don't know if you guys prior stock. Probably if you came over, we've probably done shots by accident. But for a normal rum, say a $16 bottle of rum, it's better than that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a couple extra bucks, but realistically, if you're going to spend 16 with taxes, you might as well just spend 20.
Yeah, you might as well just go for it, but... You know,
another fucking commercial right there.
Reasons.
I think he's trying to upsell you.
I think so. And then if you're going to spend 20, you might as well just go right for 30.
Oh, good call.
So what do you think about, well, how does it present yourself in your glass?
It's rum.
So it's good. What color is it? It's dark, right? Or is it a gold? It's amber?
It's a nice golden color. I mean, it's rum. It's nice looking. It's 3 shots.
No, but there's golden and then there's urine.
See, I thought that you were giving the presentation.
It's everything.
Because of the bottle.
You can do everything. Then, it's all the parts.
The bottle. Actually, technically, now that I'm looking at the bottle is kind of sexy.
I think it is. It's got some nice curves.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a hot chick, dude. I would totally bang that bottle.
Kind of a stocky chick, but it's a little curvy.
It's curvy.
It's more like, it's more like a.
This is the internet. There's an appeal of anything on it.
Right.
Right.
It's like a hot, stocky chick.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's really going to give away any of the design. It's got a curve to it, which could also be a handle. So you can drink it right out of the bottle.
Google, do an Google image search for Appleton Estate. You will find a picture of it.
Matter of fact, you'll find the same one I just posted up here. That's how I did it. That's awesome. Yeah, I'll throw it on the website too, everydaydrinkers.com.
Okay. Buzz factor, 4 shots. It's 40% alcohol volume.
And it's $20.
It'll get you there.
For $20?
Yep. And on a side note, personally, I generally do not drink any rum that is not Jamaican. So if I'm drinking rum, it's either going to be Appleton's or it's going to be Meyer's.
Okay, so you go to somebody's house and they're like, do you want a rum and Coke? Do you go, hold on, is it Jamaican? He's thinking
about
this.
If I'm at somebody's place...
Usually
I will have brought something, or B, they'll probably have beer, and I'll go for beer before I go for liquor.
Ah, beer first. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go with that. That's pretty good.
All right.
What do you think, Kate?
About my beer?
Nope. About your rum.
About my rum, right?
Hey, Kate.
Crap, I'm on my second Mai Tai.
Yeah, Kate, drink for that.
Not knowing what you're drinking. 2 shots.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hopefully Luke will see fit to edit that out.
No, I hope he leaves that right
in. Oven all day.
I'm 2 Mai Tais into this, people. I picked up the Gosling's Black Seal Bermuda Black Rum. I basically chose it because it actually looked really good in the bottle. The bottle itself is just a plain bottle, but it just looked like a really rich-looking rum. It was very dark. Let's see.
Oh, wow.
Where did he get his name from, then? Oh, wait.
Oh, I do have some background on that.
It does
I just meant the dark part. I was poking fun.
Okay. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at my notes because I actually made some. See, you guys, you know I get performance anxiety when it's my turn. Okay, so.
Whoa, performance anxiety.
Luke, you can pick up here.
Derek said they're problem with gangbangs before.
Yeah, I totally have a problem. It's like 6 chicks at once. I can't handle that. Anyway.
So, the rum actually got its name because during World War I, Gosling started selling black rum in recycled champagne bottles sealed with a cork and black wax. So they started calling it Black Seal Bermuda Black Rum. And since then, they've updated the bottle to actually just picture a seal.
Now, how many people died during that phase of their...
Holy crap, that's awesome.
I don't have those statistics. So basically, I'm a novice rum drinker. I don't believe I've ever had it before, except just mixed up in Mai Tais, so you can't really taste it. So I did drink this in a neat drink. I drank it on its own, and it was very, very smooth. A couple of you guys have talked about the afterburn, but there is absolutely no burn going down or afterwards. It was really a very smooth drink.
So it doesn't make you want to throw up in your mouth?
No. No throw up. Huh. It was rich and flavorful. I would definitely, if somebody likes to sip rum, this would be a great choice. It's also, we already talked about the dark and stormy, so it's great for making dark and stormies. And I mixed it in my Mai Tai, even though I know we weren't really supposed to use a dark rum for that. But it tasted fine. I mean, a Mai Tai is just going to be super sweet anyway. So it was all I could taste with sweetness from grenadine or whatever else is in there. I did not get the Orgate
syrup.
What it was called? Orgate. I did look for it in my liquor store. They said, "Oh, is that what you put in Chinese drinks?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess
yes.
so." But they didn't have any.
Checkmate. That is true. It only goes. You only need it for Chinese drinks or coffee.
I'm sorry, Kate. Yeah. Did you say where is that made?
Oh, what country
produced?
Oh, you know, honestly, I don't have that information.
I thought you said it.
Do you have your bottle? It'll be on the bottle.
Yeah, it's in the kitchen. Hold on a second.
It's a black bottle. I think it's black.
Oh, hold on. I'll be right back.
She's going to say?
Hey, Derek, edit that.
All right, I'll work on that. But she's going to come back and tell you United Kingdom. Because she doesn't know how to use the internet.
You lose at internet.
Actually, there's no way that it could be produced in the UK unless they import the sugarcane sugar.
Maybe.
I say UK.
I'm reading somebody's blog. Go ahead.
Where's, I didn't say UK. Did I?
No. Listen, you were gone, and I'm predicting
I'm
what.
I'm not that drunk. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
The key word is yet.
Yet.
Honestly, it does not say on the bottle. It just says since 1806, Gosling's Black Seal 80 proof Bermuda.
Bingo. You said it already. It was earlier. I heard you say it.
Bermuda?
It was in your description. Bermuda. That's like near the triangle.
It's called Bermuda Black Rum. I don't know that it's necessarily made there, but...
I know.
It would be.
In terms of the aroma, to me, I don't really know that much about rum, but it just reminded me of bourbon. It smelled like bourbon to me. It actually seemed like it had a hint of cherry. I don't know why I got that from it, because the official website actually describes it as a well-balanced and nuanced with butterscotch, vanilla, and caramel. I didn't get any of those flavors from it.
So it's
but...
like a sundae.
Anyway, regardless of what flavor you actually get from it, it's definitely smooth, it's rich, and it's not something that's going to burn. It's something you can definitely drink on its own.
How much does it cost?
It was $16.99.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so I was really surprised. I'll just go right straight to my shots review. For price, I gave it 5 shots. I thought it was an excellent value for $16.99. It was definitely rich. You can drink it on its own. For taste, I gave it 4 shots. Again, I thought it was not quite as, a distinctive a flavor as I was expecting. Like I said, it kind of reminded me of the bourbon that I usually drink, but it was good.
What
presentation?
Do you normally drink?
Edit this out. Wild Turkey. Presentation.
Make sure you leave that.
I'm not a drinker. I'm not a
classy girls drink Wild Turkey.
Presentation.
Doug's trying to
get No, man. I don't think that I really want to, take it slow and have a couple drinks. I'll go right for
wild turkey is 80 proof.
Wild Turkey, it's a Wild Turkey 101, right?
You can get 100 proof,
but she doesn't.
Or whatever, but
she goes higher.
You just oh my god, wild really?
Anyway,
she's a real woman.
Presentation is 5 shots. I thought it was a really dark, rich looking color. The bottle was okay, but it really looked good compared to all the others that looked kind of more of a light amber. Buzz factor, I give it 3 shots. It's middle of the road. It's 80 proof. Pretty standard. Gosling's also sells a 140 and a 151 proof renditions of the same rum, but they weren't.
They couldn't sell it to you?
They didn't have them at this particular liquor store. But
Oh, is your picture at the register there too?
Yeah, they're like, hey,
Wild Turkey chick, come over here for a minute.
guys, I don't know if I'm gonna be honest with you people anymore. I used to drink Jim Beam, okay? So stepped up a little.
That's what Doug does.
Overall, I give it a 4 shots.
4 shots? I can deal with that.
Yep.
Four shots of Wild Turkey.
That's a very judgmental. You guys are judging.
That's good. $16.99. We're hitting every price point, I think.
$16.99. It's a really good run.
Realistically, you won't be able to beat Dave's price, but I think we all did a pretty good job. We covered we got 16, 20, and 30.
Yeah.
That seems right.
I would definitely recommend it. I mean, it's not a super impressive bottle. You can just leave it behind the bar, but it's definitely a good tasting rum.
But it's something you could bring over and impress friends. Just don't show them the bottle.
Yeah, don't show them the bottle.
I can handle that. What? Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You passed out over there?
No, I'm still vaguely functional.
How's that Ray and Nephew overproof rum going?
Toxic? Toxic, yeah. It's probably a good way to put it. You know how there's those drinks that bring back memories, like maybe a nice glass of wine you had on a date, or maybe a snifter of brandy at the fireplace? Yeah, this isn't one of those drinks.
Well, I have a feeling he was setting us up. So what you're saying is it only brings back memories once you're unconscious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll wipe whatever memories you might have had. I mean, there'll be those glimpses of like when you're on top of a table or articles of clothing were missing or something like that.
So basically recessed memories.
Yeah. It's going to be bad pretty much if you start getting into this stuff. It's not the most potent thing you can get, but it's up there. I mean, it's 63% alcohol. It's 126 proof. That's nasty.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you're looking, you know, for a nice evening out with some friends, probably not the drink for you. If you're looking to get fucked up and dance on a bar, this is your drink.
And that could be a nice evening with friends. Depends on how you party.
Absolutely. So I should have been wary of this stuff as soon as I cracked the cap open. The nice quality plastic cap screws on, might I add. It's a straight, like, glass bottle. It's a clear liquid inside. You open it up and you get a funk. It's
dead lion.
No, liquor always has a smell to it, right? This is just sour smelling. It just doesn't smell very good to me. Well, and most rums actually smell pretty warm to me. They smell kind of nice. This is just not good.
It's the sugar,
right?
So I decided to try it by itself, and oh my god, does that burn?
How much
I could think of when I drank it was fire.
I'm on fire! Help me!
And it just kind of kept getting worse. Like normally, you drink something and you get that kind of warm feeling in your stomach. No, this was like if you drank Drano and you were waiting for the hole to kind of appear in your navel,
and then you get punched in the nuts.
Yeah, it's rough stuff. And the other thing that I noticed is if I just touch a little bit to my tongue goes numb. That can't be good for you.
No, that's awesome for you.
Yeah, well, I didn't go blind, so that's a good sign. It's not quite turpentine, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
So then I tried it in a couple of mixed drinks. I did a mojito, and I did this Mai Tai, and it's tolerable in the Mai Tai. The Mai Tai kind of masks. I think you could put anything in a Mai Tai, and it would sort of work.
Right. Maybe even urine.
I'm not going to go down that path.
Okay.
Derek, if you're looking, you really need to get away from drinking wood.
Really, it's what you're looking for. If you really want to just get wrecked quick, then I guess the overproof idea isn't a bad thing. It's like you said, it's like the high school thing. Hey, dude, I got some 151. It doesn't really taste very good, but it's going to fuck you up.
Right. So if you're already on your way, let's say you've had 6 beers, a Bloody Mary, a white Russian, and now you're like,
you're going to be sick anyway, is what
right.
You're saying.
You're, yeah, go for it. You've already gone down the route of drinking all your vitamins A, C. You probably had a screwdriver in there too, so you're not going to get scurvy. And then, boom, they're like, hey, let's make some fucking mojitos or maybe some Mai Tais with this stuff like my parents got in their closet. What is it? And
the only thing I can think of is if you're drinking this at one of those dirty Chinese restaurants that I talked about before.
Right.
This is going to clean out the glass for you ahead of time, which is pretty handy.
Also, it's
you
like
you don't
a
have to worry
detergent.
About getting any diseases or anything because this stuff will kill whatever's around.
Unless you have a Zippo, then you're dead.
Right. It is flammable, so be careful.
This is made by who?
This is by Appleton, same people that make the other stuff that Doug was.
So Doug,
yeah, I feel weird about that actually.
You screwed up, dude.
they claim that this is the top brand in Jamaica, and it's the best-selling overproof rum in the world, which surprised me because I've never heard of it before.
Well,
I always hear about Bacardi.
The thing about overproof rum, though, is probably by its very nature, it is going to taste kind of kerosene-y because it is such a high alcohol content.
Agreed.
So if what you're going for is an overproof rum, maybe this is the best one you can get, you know?
Well, realistically, if somebody puts rum down in front of you and you light it on fire, you already know where you're going with this.
What's with all the fire conversations?
Well, no, like, come on.
Derek can't get away from wood and fire.
When you come on, if you're telling me right now, if you get drunk and you're with a bunch of friends, the first thing you don't try and do is light your drink on fire?
No, I probably try to kiss them.
I've never done that either.
No, I would probably try to kiss them. You know,
all right.
I'm with you on that.
Men and women are different.
I am so with you on that.
Men want to light it on fire. Women just want to kiss.
I need to meet more women that want to kiss after they've been drunk.
I just want to hug people.
I think that's like 99%
I love you,
of
man.
Doug does. He wants to hug you.
I love
so
you.
So there's
I
a slight,
you.
Slight air of homosexuality in the room when Doug's drinking.
Oh, that's cute.
No, it's just buddiness.
Hey,
your friends don't like it.
No, unless you have girlfriends, because then it's okay. Because they probably already want to kiss you.
You want to kiss Doug?
Girls,
that is hot.
No,
he always wants to.
No,
yeah, it's kind of not.
But Doug would love this stuff because it's made in Jamaica. He told us it has to be a Jamaican brand.
Plus, it's his Appleton.
Actually,
of course, he's the estate brand.
Doug, you're gonna go buy this?
I think you're right. I mean, there is. It's definitely going to taste more like alcohol just because it's more alcohol, right? But
yeah, just
I think the whole purpose
nature.
Of this stuff is to mix it into drinks, right? And to give it more pep, right?
Punch.
Pep, yeah.
But the problem that I have with it is, like, I got a Mai Tai sitting here, and if I just taste the Mai Tai, it tastes pretty good. If I smell the Mai Tai, there's something bad going on.
That's the warning. That's your warning signals going off in your head.
I don't know a lot of people that smell their Mai Tais. Mai Tais are there for a purpose.
No.
To get you drunk. And you don't have to taste it.
Yeah, but do you hold your breath when you put the cup up to your mouth? No. See, if you have the right cup and it's really big,
but I
right?
I don't breathe it in.
You don't. Well, you hold your breath when you drink? Well,
no.
You do once the drink goes in your mouth. Otherwise, you're drowned in your own alcohol. But I mean, like when you put it up to your mouth, you're gonna get the scent. If it's overpowering, like my stuff, it just tastes
to
like
do
alcohol.
The pinch your nose thing.
You listen. Let me tell you something right now.
I just don't take in a big, huge breath when I take a sip of my Mai Tai.
Well, yeah, but you're not drinking overproof either. And if you have to hold your breath to take the drink, it's not good. Don't do that. That means you're drinking something bad.
True, but if you're – I guess what I'm saying is inherently, if you're drinking overproof, you've got a purpose. You know, you're getting down to business, and you don't really care if it smells sweet and nice. You just want to get trashed, right?
And you want to hide that, a lot of the impact from it because –
sweetness.
Yeah, you don't want to. It's like a chaser. People, there's a reason they invented the chaser. It's because they're about to die or throw up in their own mouth, and they're like, I need to get this bad taste out of my mouth. Now, you would think the body would be like, hey, bad taste, don't do that again.
Yeah.
But because we're human and we figure out how to dominate the world, we also figure out how to mask bad things by putting other flavors in your mouth, which is the whole essence of the screwdriver or any of those type of drinks. Nobody drinks the screwdriver because it's gourmet.
Tequila Sunrise, remember that?
Tequila Sunrise.
Ago?
We'll cover
it.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Yeah, but the thing is, if your goal is to go out and get wrecked, do you really want to do that on a syrupy sweet drink? It's going to be a bad next day.
Yeah, but some people do.
Yeah, it really is. Actually, and Dave, that's a great point because one of the things that I definitely wanted to mention about drinking rum is if you are drinking rum, you are begging for a horrid hangover.
Right.
Because it's sugar. You're drinking sugar. You're dehydrating yourself with sugar. You will feel like shit the next day.
Exactly. And that's the case with every sugar-based.
And I'm saying this at 10.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Sort of like our public service announcement, right?
I totally agree with that. But I guess what I'm saying is if you pick a rum that's called overproof, you kind of know what you're buying, right?
Well,
I mean, you're doing it for a reason.
There's two points, though. There's what Doug is telling is he's expressing this based on experience, right? A lot of the people who do this, like Doug, 10 years ago, we didn't have a lot of experience with that. So we don't go, oh, this is a sugar-based alcohol. We might want to take care of ourselves. Now what we would do is, like, if I have a poker game, it seems like everybody at the table – boom, two Advils, some water, and then they get drinking. And at the end of the night, they start pounding water right before they leave, and then they get home, they pound some more water, maybe take a couple aspirin and go to bed, and they wake up fine. Other kids, younger kids, don't do that. They find the most potent alcohol they can find, and they just get destroyed, and they throw up all over the living room. And then they have a headache.
They throw up all over the living
room. I mean, that's the truth of the situation. You're explaining it from somebody who's obviously had some knowledge of this.
Right. You okay, Dave?
Yeah, I'm just choking down more than my telling you, it burns like fire.
Fire and ice.
I don't know. I don't care if you're 18, well, 21, or you're 31. I think when you hear the word overproof, you got to kind of know that you're getting into something strong.
Unless somebody doesn't tell you.
True.
Yeah, and I guess having like effed up on the bottle is just not socially acceptable.
But, I think this is like kind of like educating people, okay.
This is what you want to do. This is what you don't want to do. You don't want to drink.
You don't want to wake up the next morning feeling like crap.
You don't want to be Dave right now.
Yeah. Poor Dave.
I mean, you can say that a lot, I guess. Yeah. I should probably go through the like rating section thing.
Sure.
So for price, I'll give it 4 shots. I've seen it in the like low 20s, but I've also seen it for $9 online. Wow. $9 in a bottle of this is going to put you in the hospital.
Nice.
For taste, I'm going to give it 2 shots, and I'm being generous. It's just not good tasting stuff. I've heard of people liking this, but I just don't understand how. I mean, once your tongue goes numb, I'm sure it's all good from there, but I just can't see it. Presentation, it's a standard bottle. It's got a paper label. It has a plastic top. It's not very exciting in general. It smells kind of bad. So for buzz factor, though, 5 shots, totally. If I could give it 6 shots, I would. Because, I mean, you can go higher, yeah, but do you really need to? If you do, you might have a problem.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, at some point, 151, 161, 100, realistically, anything over 100, you're gonna feel it the same. The only difference is how many shots does it take to have your stomach pumped? Because, I mean, for you, maybe that's going to be 6. For somebody with a 161, that might be 7. For somebody with 100, it might be 8 or 9. In any case, you've got alcohol poisoning, so you might as well just live with it. It doesn't matter.
For everybody listening, you'll notice that from week to week, every podcast, I grow about 3 inches in height.
See, here's the problem. Dave, I'm
going to... You're 7 feet tall now. That's awesome.
No.
That's
right. We're gonna start Dave. He's going to be 6'5". Actually, are you 6'5", Dave?
I'm 6'3".
Shit. So you're 6'5 for me. Because I'm short. So
but
you look 6'5.
You're my height, mister.
Yeah. I'm 5'7 maybe.
I'm 5'6.
Yeah, I might be more heading towards 5'6 and 5'7. I don't think I'm going to get any taller.
And if I'm wearing heels, I'm taller than you.
No, because I'll just wear heels too.
And that's just.
Yeah, you would.
That's awesome.
Wood drinker. Awesome.
That's how I have to. If I have to one up a chick, I'll wear heels, whatever it takes. But
that's all right. Why don't you tell us about your closet?
In the end, here's the deal, Dave. If I was to take what you drink, anything. If we sat at a bar, I'm guarantee you I'm going to pass up before you do. Although I do have strong German genes that can drink a lot of beer, I don't think I can take a lot of overproof. I think it would still – I think what would happen is a lot of these drinks have tricks where you drink one or two shots and you're like, that doesn't bother me because they didn't wait 10 minutes. So you take a couple more, right? That doesn't bother me. You take a couple more. You're 5 shots deep, right? And then 20 minutes later, you're like, well, I'm getting drunk. And you're trying to stop it, but there's nothing you can do, right? So you keep you're not drinking. You're like, oh, I'll drink water. This will make me all better. And you get drunker and drunker. Only now you're peeing. And then in the end, you're on the floor in the gutter at the back of a dirty Chinese restaurant. Right.
I'm starting to wonder if this whole podcast thing is just a way for you to get things off your chest, that get the skeletons out of the closet, so to speak.
Dude, if I was in the back of if my wife found me in the back of a dirty Chinese restaurant down in Lawrence, Massachusetts, I would have told you that story because it would have just been awesome. But
Derek,
I would
show us on the doll where he touched you.
Ew.
Hold on, let me compose myself. Oh my god, I think I just peed a little. Okay. No, that was awesome. You know what? I think I'm the butt of the jokes this episode. We need to do another one.
You totally are. This is so awesome because it's usually me. And I was for like a couple minutes with the wild turkey thing, but now it's totally you.
Nah, I screwed up.
Well, you see, you brought up the wild turkey thing, and that was going to be edited.
No.
That's not edited, and people listen to this.
We'll edit that whole part. We'll edit that whole back alley Derek story part.
No, that would ruin the whole episode.
All right, and it's probably too late, but you can substitute ginger ale for ginger beer in the dark and stormy.
But really, why would you want to?
I don't know.
You want to get totally trashed.
I wouldn't want to, but some people might. Like you know, they're lightweights.
I bet if you add 4 ounces of rum to it, you'll get messed up quicker, too.
You probably would.
That would hurt. Dude, that would... You need to do that to somebody. Don't tell them. Be like, oh yeah, this is just rum and beer. What? Okay, just try it. Fucking light the beer on fire. Of course, that brings us back to the fire thing.
Fire is the theme of the episode.
All right, settle down, Beavis.
Fire. Right.
So, those are all of legal drinking age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, we don't act lit?
Last time I checked. Actually, if you're making Beavis and Butthead references,
you have to be.
All he has to do is make some reference to how loud the kids' music are these days.
Damn, music is rap stuff. Shit.
I don't get it. I don't get all the rap.
I don't get it. This MTV, the eBay.
I don't get it. Are they playing hopscotch?
All right, I think the Mai Tais are kicking in.
Awesome. Well, we didn't have.
So drunk.
I'm not drunk.
Shh.
I don't even have a buzz.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't got up.
That's so sad.
Oh, no. I might be able to get up.
I got a bottle of something that might help you out.
Did you ever have this happen where you're sitting down? I don't know what you're doing. Maybe watching the football game or something. Maybe not in a football game, but someplace where you sit a long time and you're drinking something strong and you're not buzzed at all. And then you get up and it all goes right to your head and you're like, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to feel so good in the morning. But before that, you didn't even know what was happening.
I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
It definitely happens.
It's unfortunate.
It's like equilibrium or something finally like catches up with what's going on.
It's like none of the alcohol made it to your brain because it was sitting in your stomach, and then you got up and it was like, whoa, party in my head. I hate when that happens because you can't moderate yourself. You don't know when to stop because you thought you were fine. Like, yeah, I must have had a lot of food. I must be,
Party in my head. That's awesome.
And you stand up and you're like, whoa, I can't get up the stairs.
Puerto Rico.
Whoa. Jamaica.
Dave, did you finish your ratings?
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay.
Anybody else got anything to say?
Actually, I think that Dave had a great idea, and that's instead of putting the alcohol volume on bottles, especially for overproof stuff, it should be like alcohol volume. Looking to get effed up? Oh, yeah.
Or what they could do is have a picture of a really ugly girl and or guy on the back of it and say, you will need to drink this much to make this person attractive.
Oh, yes, the cider visor.
Since 1296 BC.
1269, dude.
Oh, 69, dang it.
Lowering standards since 1858.
Exactly. Actually, what I did is I wikied beer goggles, and it came up with cider visor and like something else too, so I figured I'd go with the most obscure. I guess it's for chicks, really, because you guys drink cider. No one else does that.
Actually, I think you're right about that.
Yeah. What we need to do, we have to have a podcast episode on what to drink at the bar and what will make you look like a homosexual.
That's a good idea.
Because
so we're pretty much trying to alienate, like,
well, no. Like, if you go, let's say you go to a bar, right? And you go with a bunch of buddies, and they're, pretty hardcore. Like, they'll make fun of you if you do something stupid, right? Like anybody we work with.
So, like the time you ordered a mint julep.
Exactly what I'm saying.
wait a second.
If you go to a bar, somebody goes, Sam Adams. The next guy goes, Sam Smith. The next guy goes, Harpoon. And you go, I'll have a Midori Sour.
Or a Milk Ultra.
Yeah, or Mick Ultra. You do it every time. But Mick Ultra makes you look like you're on a diet. If you order a Midori Sour, 9 times out of 10, you're a homosexual. That's what they're going to think. Obviously, it's not true, but it's the impression that the drink
or facts rooted in science.
Next time on EverydayDrinkers.com.
On Modern Jackass.
I'm thinking we probably shouldn't do that themed show. But
you gotta wait until your ratings are up. That way you can alienate a few people. Yeah. And you can weed out the hate mail. Next episode, we're going to cover brown ales. I'll also post a mojito recipe on everydaydrinkers.com so that we can get a good mojito recipe. I'll find one of these guys that are good at mojitos, because apparently my mango one isn't good enough for Dave. We'll work on that.
Mango tastes like wee.
That would be urine? You're just trying to make me say urine again. So anyway, this is Derek Shulmer for Dave, Doug, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke Lydal. You've been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. .com.
That was distorted on me. That was...
Oh, well, I definitely know what this going on.
Oh, that's fine.
I have a red bar. That doesn't...
So, I like how that one went better because it was less...
It's so much more casual. You should stop, like, the recording, because already it's almost 2 hours and I feel bad for Luke, and he's going to look at it and be like, oh, I don't want to edit.
But... There's some pretty good chunks that can be cut out of there.
There's a few good chunks. It's between
an hour and 35 minutes.
Me going to make my time stuff.
Cool.
But
I'm comfortable using my last name. I don't...
Nobody's stalking you.
Foresee, yeah, stalkers.
And plus, maybe you'll get some autographs. You're that famous guy in those podcasts, and you drink.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm totally going to get stalked from this.
This is going to be awesome. So, okay, all right, I'll start the intro now.
I think it's probably more of a problem for girls than guys.
Yeah, it's probably true.
And Dave, because he's got that sexy course. Announcer.
Right. Oh,
poor, and I've got, like, just chicks throwing themselves at me, and they're in the bushes right now. I know. I can hear them.
They're all fat chicks.
Go get
I can't do like the Spanish announcer guy tonight, huh?
Oh no, you will find a way to get it in there.
Yeah. You know, getting the giggles this early on is probably not a good thing.